When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And that just really got to me. I said, you know, I've worked so hard to be where I am, mm-hmm. to be paycheck to paycheck.
Hello, and welcome to Planantials Podcast, Future Rich. I am Barbara Gandy, your host, and also a CFP, which stands for a Certified Financial Planner. I am here today with my guest, Haley. Hi, Haley.
Hi, good morning.
Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here today. I'm such a fan.
Oh, good. Actually, how did you find out about the podcast? I never asked.
I think it started with my debt-free journey early this year from January, February. And I kind of just dove into social media and then I came across your page. And this is me thinking most likely that's what happened. And then I kid you not, I listened to every single episode during my side hustle, which we can probably get into a little bit later. But yeah, that's kind of how I came across this podcast.
Awesome. Okay, so I definitely want to talk about the debt-free journey. So tell me, how old you are, where you are, what your income is, job, all of that.
Yes, I am 27 years old. I am from San Diego. Currently single, engaged. So, and I make 80,000 yearly.
Perfect. And is that with the side hustle or?
Oh, so the side hustle, I still have the side hustle actually. So with the side hustle, it's approximately $600 a month.
Oh, wow. That's a great side hustle.
Yeah.
And then what do you do for your career?
I work in human resources.
Okay, perfect. And then so that you're salaried at 80,000 gross a year. Okay, perfect. So should we go through your budget first or do you want to tell me about this debt-free journey?
I think I can tell you about the debt-free journey because it's not taking too much of my budget anymore. Just to kind of give you backstory, this is a new employer. I was with a different employer about 2 months ago. So January through about August, I was with my previous employer, which I was making 60.
Oh my gosh. So you got a huge bump up.
Yeah. And it was a less demanding job. So I worked about 35 to maybe just closing out the 40 a week. I mean, that's still a lot, but you know.
It's still full time.
And it was just a little less mentally draining. So I picked up the side hustle of, it's called Shipt, like ship, but with a T at the end, very similar to Instacart.
Okay.
So I was working that about 20 to 25 hours a week after my 9 to 5.
Oh my gosh.
And I worked that for about 6 months. And weekly.
So wait, tell me what your schedule was like when you're doing that. So you would go to your first job.
Yeah, so I would do my first job, and I was working from home. So thankfully, that was like a help. Okay. I was working maybe your 8:30 a.m. to about 4:30 p.m. And I was in the school system side, so I worked school hours basically.
Okay.
And after that, I would leave about 5:30 and start my little side hustle, and then I'd be home by like 10. So, I mean, it was still a long day.
That's a really long day.
Yeah. But you know, Barbara, I enjoyed this. I mean, I still enjoy it. And it's like Instacart. So you go to the store, Target, Walmart, Bonds, whichever you have orders, and you shop for people and you deliver. And it's pretty amazing how much you can make on this side hustle.
Yeah.
And when I started in January, I had credit card debt of about $16,000.
Oh, and wow. Okay.
I knew that I was going to get engaged soon and like I had to do something about it. So I really buckled down that those last 6 months and I just side hustled until I think I'm at maybe 2,000, which is totally doable in my opinion from where I was.
Oh, absolutely.
That was like my little background. And that's every single trip to the store to do my orders, I was listening to your podcast.
I was going to say the nice thing about that type of side hustle is you are doing it by yourself, right? So you can listen to music or you can listen to a podcast or.
Yeah. And it's so entertaining. You get your workout in because you're up and walking and down the aisles and whatnot. So I enjoyed it nonetheless.
Good for you.
Yeah. So then the employer I was with, it was just like I said, it wasn't too, I didn't feel like I was advancing my career.
Okay.
So then I was able to make a switch. I increased my salary increased, but it is more demanding. So my side hustle decreased.
But I would argue, so you were making $600 a month with the side hustle, right?
No, when I was dedicating that much time, I was making close to $2,000 a month. And they weren't taking out taxes. So that was pre-tax.
Gross. Yeah, pre-tax. Oh, wow. $2,000 a month you were doing. Mm-hmm. Good for you. That's awesome. I'm super impressed because since you've listened to the podcast, you know, I really recommend, you know, if you don't want to go on a super strict budget or also if you have the time of doing a side hustle, I'm always about picking up extra income if you can.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, 2000 a month is a lot because that works out to be 24,000 a year in extra income. So actually, but your new job now with bumping yourself, because that was a pre-tax with that 2000 a month,
right?
Your new job really bumped you up 20,000. So you're right there. And it's less, what are the hours? I know it's probably not an apples to apples comparison because if it's 40 hours, but mentally draining, it's different than a 40 hours where you weren't as challenged.
Right. So now I'm at that 80K and I work about 45 hours a week.
Okay.
Maybe just depending on the job and the week and the month, it could be a little more. And it is more mentally challenging, but that's kind of what I was looking for anyway. But I have my evenings back. So it's just kind of a, you know, I do think it was a good switch, but it is, and you know, it's, I think it was a good change.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Because you're progressing in your career, you got to pay a pay bump. So let's talk about, so you're doing, that's your full time, your 80,000. So let's talk about your budget a little. And you're not doing any of the shift anymore. Or do you do it like when you feel like you have availability?
Yeah, I'll do it maybe Saturdays or maybe once throughout the week, just depending. And if I dedicate a Saturday morning, like I did last week, I made maybe 180, just those 3-4 hours.
That's great. Okay. So you could even do it if you felt like if you just needed some extra, is it flexible? Can you just like go online and pick it up?
Yeah. You can just add yourself on the schedule.
That's great.
Yeah.
Good to know. I had never thought about that one as a side hustle. Okay. Perfect. So let's go through your budget. And then do you want to use just do you want to just talk about your income and then the shift would be anything extra?
Yeah. We can definitely do that.
Okay.
So I get paid 26 paychecks a year. And my current monthly income net is $4,200. So
perfect.
Per check, it's about $2,100.
Perfect. And so for all of our lovely listeners, we don't hear the 26 paychecks often, but that means you literally get paid every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Not the first or the 15th or the 5th and the 30th or whatever.
Right.
Perfect. And then with your company, do you have a 401k and health insurance that's taken out of that number? Like before you get to the 4,200?
I do have health insurance and that's about $75 deduction maybe. But yes, that's $2,100 is exactly what hits my account as of right now.
Okay.
And then as far as a 401k, they do offer 401k, but they don't, they have a pension. So.
What? Oh, this 401k. Is music to my ears.
Yeah. I know, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that just because I'm not too – I don't fully understand the pension program or system or how that works. And then also I feel like I'm only 27 and I know you would have to dedicate years to the company. And, you know, that's kind of a little bit frightening.
So pensions are really, I think, really great. But usually, and this is just high level, not specific to yours, but usually you need like 20 or 30 years with the pension company or with the company that's offering the pension or with the job that's offering the pension to get the maximum. And then to be vested, meaning you to be eligible for any amount, it's usually 10.
Mm-hmm. I know it's five here.
Oh, okay. Well, that's even better. So it's 5 years to be vested. Okay. So that's not terrible to get vested in it.
Right. So if I were to leave, let's say in 10, I would then have some sort of like just this pension would follow me and it would just kind of stay there for at the 10-year mark type of thing.
So we'd have to look through your specific benefits, but to give you an idea of how it usually works is after 5 years, you would be vested, meaning you're eligible for the pension. It would be a smaller amount, right? Because you only put 5 years in. And let's say usually your maximum when the pension is going to be when you hit your 20-year mark or your 30-year mark. And then usually there's an age component. So it's like if you did 20 years and you're 65, it would be more versus if you did 20 years and you were 50, right?
Right.
Because usually with pensions, you have a lot of government workers. So they could be much younger. So if they're 30 years, right, if they started at 22 and they're 52, they're 30 years and they're, you know, still under the, you know, in their 50s, they would be full the maximum. So it just depends. You have to just like read through the pension. It can get a little bit complicated. But so for instance, if you did five and you're vested, but then you stay and work and you leave after 10 years, you would be eligible for a pension depending on when they offer the start dates. It'd be 55, 65. And you'd be eligible for the years that you worked. So it would be a 10-year would be one of your factors. And then they would take it. Usually they do some sort of multiple of your salary. Mm-hmm. And then it would start at whatever ages they list, you know, when you're eligible.
Right.
So you would have something. So you wouldn't have the maximum, but you would have something. Usually if you've at least invested, if you stayed another 5 years, you would have some amount. Maybe let's just throw out. You would get $750 a month for your pension starting at age 65. And they should have in your benefits or your benefit department should be able to tell you approximately like how the number works. Like, is it 60% of your salary? And they should be able to kind of give you an idea of what the numbers look like. And they won't give you firm numbers because even usually when people retire with a pension, it takes the pension benefit people usually like 6 months to get to the firm number, which.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. It's definitely something I'll look into with more detail. It's the first time I've ever worked with an employer that offers a pension or even in known much about pensions other than the podcast, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's definitely something I'll look into. And then just being so young, it's you would want to stick for about 25 years, but that seems like a long time from now. So we'll
yes.
See.
And you can always reevaluate it because Natasha, who has come on the podcast, she's a government worker. So she has a pension as well. Besides, you know, she can put away into a government version of a 401k. It's a 457, but her pension in order to vest is 10 years. So after what I'm hoping Natasha does is after 10 years, decides if she wants to stay in that role or if she wants to do something else, because then at least she vests it and she'll get something when she retires.
Right.
And then she's five.
Got it. So they also offer, I think it's 403B.
Yeah, it's a 403B.
But they don't match
that. So that is totally normal with a 403B.
Okay.
Because typically when you have a pension, you will see it also with a 403B or with a 457. And those are most often not matching.
Okay. And then would you still suggest I should contribute to that?
Oh, yes. I love the workplace plan.
Got it. Okay. That was my question. I said if it's, you know, is it one or the other or you can still just do both? So, okay, that sounds good. So as of now that I've been here for the 2 months, I haven't enrolled and started contributing to that 403B. So
the reason why I like it is because it's a disciplined approach to investing for your retirement. Mm-hmm. And I think that to get really good results, it takes, you know, boring behavior. You have to be disciplined and it's pretty boring. And it's just consistency. And so the workplace plan, you know, exhibits all of those traits that we're looking for. So the money would go in literally every 2 weeks for you, not even the first and the 15th, but every 2 weeks of the calendar year. The investment options inside of your 403B have been selected and approved, meaning that someone's reviewing those investments for you. So when you go into 403B, there'll be a menu of different investment selections you can pick. So you're not going in and there's 8,000, right? They've culled it down. And, you know, some plans only have 8 or 10 options, some plans have 20, but those have all been reviewed and selected. And then somebody else, because it's a workplace plan, is going through and saying, okay, are we happy with all of these investments? And you'll see throughout your career that sometimes when you're in a workplace plan, or for those listening, that the company will come in and say, actually, we're getting rid of this one investment and we're switching it to this one, or we're getting rid of the company that's managing our investments and we're switching to another one. So people are reviewing it. So that's very beneficial too. And you have a higher contribution limit with the workplace plans than you do if you were to do it on your own. So that's another benefit. You could put a lot more money away in your workplace plan.
Yes. Okay. I do know that compared to like a Roth.
Yes. And you can always do both. And let's talk about your budget. But the other thing I was just thinking is, if even if you work like one Saturday, you know, a month, you know, you made 180, that money could go into a Roth.
Right. Right. Okay. Sounds good. So I can get into my budget if you'd like.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Perfect. So I currently live not with my fiance. I'm still with a couple of roommates. We rent a house together. One of the roommates, her mom owns the place. So thankfully, we don't have to worry about a lease or anything. And it's a 4-bedroom and it's 4 of us. So when I moved in there about 2 years ago, I'm there renting a room. Technically, paying for the rent of a room, but we use the entire house. So with that, I do rent the master bedroom and I currently pay $1,021.
Nice. That's a good price for, because I heard San Diego is expensive.
Oh yeah, very. I think a master bedroom, you'd probably be paying about $1,300, $1,400 for a master bedroom, which is pretty insane. My car insurance is $60. And I don't have a car payment. I paid that off about 3 years ago.
Oh, great. Okay.
So I'm kind of just waiting until I take care of it very well. So hopefully it lasts me another 10 years. My cell phone bill is $100. So I'm still in the family plan. So me and my brothers take care of that payment. My parents don't really have to pay anything for that.
So, oh, nice. So you pay for your parents.
Yeah.
Finally, I finally found someone else who does that.
I know. I was excited. I was like, I think Barb was going to be proud of me.
I'm very proud of you. That's really nice of you.
Perfect. Gas, I budget about $120 a month.
Okay.
I don't work too far from my home and I don't drive too much now that I reduced shipped. I don't, or Instacart, just to make it a little easier. I don't drive as much, so I'm not using as much gas. And groceries, I budget about $300 a month for just myself.
Okay.
Let me see here. I have my gym membership, which is $109 a month. And then I budget for dining out about $150 for the month. And then fun money, which is just sometimes I just kind of dip in there if I, you know, want to buy anything or just extra coffee or whatnot, I budget another $150.
Okay.
And between Netflix and Experian, it's another $32.
Okay.
And then we do have a cleaning service that comes into our home twice a month. So my portion of that is about $50 a month.
Okay.
And then I do have one debt, which is my last store card, and this was obviously bad decisions from when I was in my early 20s, and I'm still paying that one off, and that's the last piece that I have. When I made the switch to the new employer, that's when I stopped working shipped so much, so this was kind of just like the last card on the list.
Yeah,
I still owe $2,000 on that card.
Okay. And then what are you paying on that monthly?
I pay $150 as of right now.
Okay.
Let me see if I'm missing anything else.
So it looks like without the credit card, it comes to about $2,100 a month.
Yes.
Perfect. And we got rent.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So that is my current budget.
Perfect. Okay. So you have a lot left over.
I do. And the last 2 months that I've been in this new position, I've kind of just stashed it away because I have just upcoming things to need that I need cash for. But at the same time, I just want to make sure I'm doing that the smartest way possible. Sometimes just stashing my entire leftover is not the smartest thing.
Yeah. So let's talk about, because you're engaged, so you have an upcoming wedding.
Right.
So let's talk about what you have saved so far. So the only debt we have right now is the $2,000 on the credit card.
Yes.
Okay. And then what do you have for savings?
For savings, I'm currently at $12,100.
Fantastic. And then do you have a former retirement from your last job?
No, I don't, Barbara.
No, that's okay. That's okay. That is totally fine. Okay. So, and what do you have coming up on the horizon in terms of expenses? Do you have wedding expenses that are upcoming?
So I got engaged this year, March of 2021, and we decided that we wanted to do a 2-year engagement and possibly book something for March of 2023. And that was with the intention of doing the side hustle, being debt-free, really setting ourselves up to make these decisions and pay for a wedding and then move in and all of that. So we're about 6-7 months into our engagement. And we're kind of toying with what to do next. We want to keep saving until the end of the year. And our goal by December 31st is to have 20K saved.
Oh, wow. Okay. And then is that going to be 20 each or 20 separate, like 20 combined?
20 combined.
Combined. That's what I thought. Okay. So then you're going to contribute 10. He's going to do 10?
Yes, approximately.
Okay. Okay. So you're not... I mean, you're technically already there, right? Because you have 12,100. Okay. So let's figure this out. So we actually have, so you'll have, how many weeks do we have left in the year? So you should probably be able within the next 2 months to get the credit card paid off and then put another 2,000 in the emergency fund, right?
Right.
So then that would mean that you would have no more credit card and you would have $14,100 in the emergency fund, right?
Yes.
So then you would have your target of $10,000 for the wedding. You would also have $4,000 in the emergency fund, which is approximately like 2 months worth of money for you. Mm-hmm. So, but also if you're going to, do you think you would make over the next 2 months, you would work like 4 times for shipped?
Yeah, that's my goal. My goal is to at least work for 4 times and then average about $400 to $600 a month.
Perfect. Okay. So then I would put that in the emergency fund too. So let's just say over the next 2 months, then you think you would make another like $1,000 in that time frame?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So then that gets the emergency fund up to $15,100, right? So you can split it up because you still won't spend the $10,000 straight away for the wedding, right?
Correct.
Because it'll be a bit of time out. So then you have $5,000 emergency fund, you have $10,000 in the wedding fund, right? And then what I want to do is if you continue doing the ship, then you can use that money to build the emergency fund. And then what I would like to do is get you in your 403B.
I agree.
So I would earmark that to start that in 2 months, just so that you get the credit card done, you have your wedding fund allocated, and between the money from your paycheck and the ship money, after about 2 months, you'll have, you know, $5,000 in the emergency fund, no credit card debt, and the mm-hmm. wedding fund done. Mm-hmm. So then what I would do is, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that we really put you in the 403B like pretty aggressively, and then you could allocate, once you get that emergency fund up a bit higher, you could allocate some of those monies. Even if you go down to once a month and you make $200 a month with that, that could be for a Roth.
For shipped?
Yeah.
Got it. So starting, let's say January, I would then do shipped all into a Roth.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. And then January. So if I were to, if I had like, let's say my plan is to stick into my budget until at least September of next year, because that's our plan to move in together and my budget will change most likely.
Perfect.
So from now until January until September, from that $2,100 that I have left over, how much do you think I should allocate to my 403B and then continue saving for the wedding just because I want to make sure I have a buffer in there?
Yes.
And then also to move out.
So here's what I'm thinking, and I want you to hear me out on this. You have $2,000 left over after the paycheck. I'm kind of thinking if we took, this is going to be a big number, if we took $1,400 and put it in your 403B.
Okay.
Now, $1,400 is, I'm thinking your 403B is probably only pre-tax. And now everybody always says that the Roth is the best. And I love the Roth. But I think since you're also, I want to get you into retirement because you don't have any yet. But I also want to make sure that you have enough money to save up an emergency fund because you are going to be moving and that will be, you know, you'll need money for that. You have the wedding that we want to keep saving for. My thought is the pre-tax option will allow you to, I think we can do both. If we do the pre-tax work option because it'll allow you to save more money. And then on the outside of that, you could also do, you know, a Roth IRA. And so I'm just going to look at the tax brackets, and I'm not an accountant. That's my disclaimer. But I think for with your bump up in income, you're probably losing a lot of that to taxes, right? Because the way our tax code works is it's like a staircase, if you will. So as you make more money, those dollars pay more in tax. Now payroll averages it out for you. But so basically as a single individual, anything, you know, between like 40,000 and 86,000 approximately is going to be paying 22%. Now they average it out. So that's your top bracket. So you have a lot of income in that bracket. So my thought is if you did the $1,400 a month, and we can figure out what the percentage is into the 403B, that would work out to be $16,800 a year going into the 403B. So we're almost maxing out the amount.
Right.
And we can see how it feels. But if you put $1,400 a month into the 401K, you should actually only be missing probably like $1,100 out of your paycheck. Because you're not going to be paying tax on that.
Right. And this is kind of just to jumpstart my retirement. And then I could potentially bring that down if, you know, a year in or something.
Yeah. So let's say a year in, your budget's going to change and that you can't swing that. You could always bring it down. Because I'd like you to at least start, if that feels like too much, we could start with 10%. I just think you have it in your budget and it'll be a pre-tax option, so you won't feel it as much. So we could even start with, if you want to do less, we could do 80. You could start with a 12% contribution. That would be 80,000, and you do 12%, that's 9,600 a year. Mm-hmm. And so you'll miss less than $1,000 from your pay.
Right.
Monthly.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Okay. That's not too bad.
So I would do, I was suggesting 1400, which turns out to be a very large number. So you could play with it and see what you think is going to feel most comfortable to you. So I would shoot for somewhere between 10 and 16,000 contribution.
Okay, that sounds good. And then continue that shipped money to the Roth.
Yep, exactly. So I would either do 12, I did 20. 12 is a good number. So we could meet somewhere in the middle if you wanted to. And then I would do the ship money into the Roth. And then you have you're like really front load. What I'm trying to do is get a bunch of money into your retirement before you're 30.
Yeah. Okay, I see. Definitely. That totally makes me want to just do the 1400.
Yeah, because then, so then let's say you are able to continue the 1400, which is a lot, and you do 1400 and you do it, we'll just say let's say you stick with it for 36 months. That gets 50,000 into your 401k in the next 3 years, so by the time you're approximately 30. And so then I'll just show you what that 50,000 is going to turn into.
Okay.
Because then that I think will be attractive. So then at 40, that would be 100,000, right? Just assuming compounding interest, 7.2% return. And then at 50, that would turn into approximately 200,000. And then at 60, that would turn into 400,000. And then at 70, which I know is like lifetime away, that would turn into 800,000.
And that's if I were just to
stop,
crank it out these last years of my 20s,
yes,
and stop.
And stop. Correct.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Okay. That's cool. Very, very, very cool.
So even though I know everyone always is like, well, you're better off doing the Roth, you're going to save like your marginal bracket, your top tier bracket is 22%. And I think that we could get all your other goals achieved, you know, like the wedding fund, the emergency fund, and then you could do this because you were living on it to get the debt paid off, but you're not actually using the money. You know, it's not like you need it for your housing costs, right? It was,
exactly.
You were doing it for, so I would say stick with that mindset. And if you do the 1400, and if you can always go, you can ask them, but you can typically always go in and change it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And then not to throw a curveball. With this whole wedding situation, we were also toying the option of going into buying a home.
Yay! I was going to ask you.
And that's because my fiance's parents are just very, at least with him, his whole life, they've just done everything the right way to kind of help him set up and be the most responsible. And just, he's been contributing to his 403B like 5 years already. So they've encouraged us to look into that. And they have generously, first off, helped my fiance pay off his car to remove that from his income. From his budget. He's paying them back. It's just that now it's off of his report. And then also about $20,000 for a down payment. So if I know we just went over like maxing out my 403B, and that sounds very attractive and I would want to do that. And I think I have time on our side. We don't necessarily have to buy a home now in the next year. It could be in the next four. But I guess my question is that we could get there sooner rather than later for a home, or we could just do it within 3-4 years and just kind of take care of retirement, take care of ourselves now, and then save heavily for that down payment. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. So here's what I'm thinking. Do you want to do the Roth, or are you okay just doing the work plan?
I'm honestly okay just doing the work plan. If I'm going to get there, you know, so
yeah,
if I need the Roth IRA, then I'm okay being flexible with that.
Okay. Cause here's what I'm thinking. And this is where there's no perfect answer, right? It's, you know, it's up to the individual person. There's no right or wrong. My thought is, because you're single right now and you're at 80,000 of income and we don't have anything in retirement yet, and I think we have an opportunity to really front load it, I like the pre-tax option because you're going to be able to put a lot away and save some taxes. Mm-hmm. So my thought is then maybe you don't do a Roth with the SHIP money. Maybe we just get you in the 403B, and let's say then you have 800 a month coming extra with the paycheck plus whatever you make on the SHIPed money.
Right.
And so then that can go in the emergency fund or the wedding or the house fund. So then that's all towards those additional saving goals, because by the time you start contributing to 403B, you'll have no credit card debt. You'll have $5,000 in emergency fund, mm-hmm, and $10,000 in a wedding fund. And you should still approximately, with the shift, if you made $800 a month on that, or $600 a month, and then you had $800 left over from your paycheck. And let's just assume $600 from SHIP for the, mm-hmm, month. That's another
$1,400. Yeah.
So let's just say that you have that extra, because we have 2 months before we get there, before we start doing this.
Right.
So let's just say that we have another 12 months, right? Because it's still pre-wedding.
Right.
So that's $1,400 a month times 12 months. That's another $16,800.
16, you said?
Yep, 16,000.
Yeah. And that's just my income. Obviously, this podcast is for, you know, us, not my fiance, but that's a whole other income.
Yeah. So if you decide you like this and the numbers, you know, are all approximate, but then you're doing approximately 1400 into the 403B, right?
Right.
And then you should still have left over 800 a month from your paycheck. Mm-hmm. And then let's just say you make 600 a month from the shift, right? And you do that for 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
then in 12 months' time, you will have $16,800 in your 403B. If it, you're going to invest it, so hopefully the market goes up, but that's just what you're going to put in.
Right.
You're going to be able to save another $9,600 from your paycheck that we could go towards a down payment.
Mm-hmm.
And then this ship money would be another $7,200. So you could even split the difference with yourself there and say $3,600 goes towards the house fund and $3,600 goes into my emergency fund, because your emergency fund will have been at $5,000, right?
Right.
So now you have it. So in 12 months, well, really 14, because 2 months to get rid of the credit card debt,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So then you have $8,600 as your emergency fund from that, basically by the end of 2022, right?
Right.
That would be your emergency fund by the end of 2022. You still have the $10,000 saved for the wedding, right?
Right.
And now, in addition to that, you have, oops, I did that backwards, $9,600. And then you have the $3,600. You have $13,000 for the house fund.
Mm-hmm.
And you have $16,000 in the 403B.
Yeah.
And you have no debt. And that's just year one.
And that's just year one. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so then even if, would however it plays out from that point on, even if you only keep up on the 403B and you can do that for another 2 years,
mm-hmm.
then that's where you end up, you know, another 2 years of 1400 is another 33,600 into the 403B. And that's where you get to that magic number mm-hmm. right around the time you're 30. And then you still, and that's with saving nothing else but the 403B the 2 years following. And then you still have 13,200 for the house,
mm-hmm.
the 10,000 for the wedding, and the 8,600 emergency fund.
Yeah, I like it. I think I need to take care of my retirement and just be able to max that out. And then not to mention, I'm at the tail end of 27. So, you know, I have less time now in my 20s. And then, you know, buying a home is definitely in the books, but I don't think it needs to be, you know, within the next year or two. It can always be, you know, when we're a little bit more prepared, in about 3.
Yeah, I think 3 years is the perfect amount, because, and if you focus on short term, obviously the next 2 months, get rid of the credit card debt,
mm-hmm.
add some more to an emergency fund, and then go strong on the retirement. And then in 3 years' time, you know, the wedding will have been done. You can aggressively save for a down payment. But to me, if you can get about $50,000 in your retirement by the time you're 30, 31, I think, as you see with the compounding of interest, it's just incredible.
Right.
Yeah. And for all the names, because the people will be like, oh, it should all be Roth. It can totally be Roth, but $1,400 coming out of your going in, if they offer a Roth option, not everyone offers the Roth option. If they were to offer the Roth option, $1,400 a month into your 403B is $1,400 a month out of your pocket. So
right.
by doing the pre-tax option, you're deferring that tax at that highest bracket, which is 22%.
Yeah, that's definitely my
take home.
Yep.
Yep. So your effective tax bracket will be a little bit better. So that's why I would do it that way, especially because are they issuing you a 1099 shipped for?
Yeah, they are.
Yep. Okay. So then even with that, then it depends on how much you make, but if you go over 86,000 in 2021, you'll be in the 24% bracket as a single person.
That's kind of another reason why I'm glad I'm not doing shipped so heavily. Just being 1099 makes me a little nervous just to be making that much amount. So that was another reason. Yeah.
The 403B will help because it'll be pre-tax. So it'll lower your taxable income.
Yeah.
So I think that's the way to go. And then that way it can allow you to save a lot, and you can do that just for 36 months, and then you can reevaluate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Okay. I mean, I feel good with my budget and the plan, at least for the next 2 months. That's very, very clear. And then the next year or two, I definitely want to send to 403B just as aggressively as I can. And then obviously the plan is for me to keep growing in my career and increase my income. So as that starts happening, then, you know, that'll give me a little bit more wiggle room too.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you can always switch to the Roth option inside of your work plan. So once you, let's say once you get to that 50,000 and, you know, you have more in your emergency fund then, and, you know, you're married and you kind of, you've combined finances maybe, or you have a better plan for the down payment. You could say, you know what, I don't need to put as much in the pre-tax option. I'm going to split it.
Right.
You know, I'm going to go half Roth, half pre-tax.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's why I wanted to be a part of this podcast, because I said, I can't, I'm living on 50% of my income right now, and saving it just aggressively isn't really going to get me anywhere. I mean, it will, gives me the opportunities to do things with it, but I should be smarter about that.
Yes. I think you've done a really great job. I think the key now is just ramping. I think because you're used to living on so little of your income. And I'm a big proponent of that. I did the exact same thing in my 20s, and I highly recommend it, because it's amazing to see what that account is worth now, you know, 10 years
right.
later.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Sounds good. I'm really excited now.
Just oh, good.
The number that you shared, I said, okay, I want that.
Yeah, it's pretty, I mean, it's pretty incredible, because the nice thing, the reason why I really like it is because, you know, you're saving 50% of your income, you're used to it, you're comfortable with it. And also, at least for me, and I'm not going to assume the same for you, but when I was in my 20s, everybody else was budgeting, right? Or like on a tighter budget. And so it was easy. It was easier, I think, from like social pressures to be like, no, I can't afford to do this, or I have to, you know, I'm cutting back here. And then the payoff on it was great, because then, you know, when I bought the business, when I was in my late 20s, I started early 20s, was very aggressive with the retirement. I had to tone it down a little because I didn't have the funds.
Yeah.
But I didn't have to worry about it as much because I had already put so much in so early. So it was like, okay, to take a step back to then buy a business, which, you know, took two steps back to take a few steps forward.
Right.
But yeah, it's, people don't think about that. That's why when you said you were 27 and I was like, I think we have a real, especially cause you're doing such a good job with the budgeting and you're so on track with it. I think you have a real opportunity to kind of front load your retirement, and then you could always tone it down, or you could always switch to Roth. Like, there's a lot of options.
Yeah. And I think it's a good time to do that too, because I mean, I'll be getting married within a year and a half, but also I don't have any kids right now, and I can really front load that 403B. And then just kind of prepare myself for when I do have kids, I can probably decrease my contribution a little bit.
Yeah. If you need it to, cause you've already kind of set it up and it's just going to be cooking behind the scenes there. And also when you get married, what do you know approximately what your fiance makes?
Yeah, he makes about 60 right now. And our monthly income then would be close to 8,000. It just depends, because he has the option for overtime.
Perfect.
It can be from 7 to 8 on a monthly basis.
Okay. And so then married, filing, joint, if you were to be married this year, so with 80 and 60, it would be 140. You would be in the 22% bracket. So kind of similar to where you are now, but with your shift income, you run the risk of bumping yourself up into 24.
Yeah.
And you, and the 22% bracket for married filing joint is much larger. So you can make up to 172,000 in that bracket.
Yeah. Trust me. I thought about it. So let's get married.
Save the money on taxes. No, you can reduce your taxable income by using the 403B.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. That sounds great. And it wasn't always like this. I think the beginning of this year, and even just prior to, I was really heavily in credit card debt, and it was like paycheck to paycheck, no idea how I would get out of it until just shift came around and I said, this is my opportunity, and I took it. And I think I'll have to pay the consequences of just making that much. I made about 16,000.
Wow.
So in just 8 months. So you know, I'm ready to kind of see what I'm going to have to do with taxes. But, you know, but I think it was just a sacrifice I had to do.
Yeah, I think that that's great, because I think that some people, it takes them longer to be like, I don't want to live my life like this. I'm working too hard to be paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
So,
and that was exactly the comment that kind of just got to me, was from my mom. She says, I mean, aside from that, no one really knew about the credit card debt, not my fiance. Well, he was my boyfriend at the time, and not my family or friends. And I knew we would be getting engaged soon, so I knew I had to do something about it fast. And then we both kind of came clean, and he also did his side hustles, and he also got out of debt. so that we both could be just kind of ready for the next steps. But she did say, she said, she didn't know I was in debt, but she says, you know, there's some people out there who work hard for their money, but they're still paycheck to paycheck. And they went to, they, you know, they got their education and they're in this great career, but they're still paycheck to paycheck. And that just really got to me. I said, you know, I've worked so hard to be where I am to be paycheck to paycheck. So
no, this is, you will make some short-term sacrifices to do this and then it'll change your financial trajectory forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Very excited.
Yeah. Good. Congratulations. And thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Barbara. I really appreciate it. And I'm so excited. I'll have to listen back. I took notes, but I'll listen back just to make sure that, you know, I follow your guidance. And then if I need to adjust, then I will. But ultimately, I'm really looking forward to maxing out my 403b.
Yay. I love a good retirement plan. Well, for all of our lovely listeners, you can follow us for our most up-to-date information on Instagram, Future Rich Podcast, and you can check out our online courses in partnership with SUNY Ulster at www.futurerichpodcast.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.